Trigger warnings for this episode can be found in the description below. Leftovers at the End of the World, Episode 4, Endless Night.
As expected for someone with a case of sea flu. Well, that's the last one for this morning's Dream With Me segment. If you've got a crazy dream, premonition, or bout of spewing madness, write a letter and submit your stories to the station. The forecast looks like it's going to be a nice day. Some clouds here and there, but it looks like there's nothing to be worried about. And as usual, I'll be keeping an eye to this.
Ethel? Ethel, you in there? Ethel? Whoa! Okay. Oh,
Thank you. You're okay. You're good.
It's good. Are you? What's going on?
Please, let's go. I can't. Get me away from here.
Sure. The Baha'i's dock just over there.
Okay, here, nice blanket, and sit. I'll get you something to drink.
Water. Please?
Sure. Food?
Please.
Here. Oh. Oh, geez. You're gonna drown if you drink that fast. I just stocked up on some scorpion jerky. Here. Still fresh.
Thank you so much.
I'll make something real in a second. Oh, hey, just breathe a little. You'll get sick.
Sorry. It's been a while.
How long is a while? Never mind, just eat. I'll ask later.
How did you know to come here?
Your husband? I docked for repairs and he asked if I could come check on you. Said it's been a week since your last letter. Oh, Ethel, it's... Can I hug you?
Yeah! I'm sorry.
No, don't be.
I'm so happy he noticed.
Noticed? That man's entire personality is, I love my wife. You know, he was ready to abandon his post to come here if I hadn't shown up. It's cool if you need to wipe your nose in the blanket. It's due for a wash anyway. Tea? Or something else?
Tea is fine.
It's Jasmine. What made you think Jerry wouldn't notice?
I don't know. I've never doubted him before. I guess... the week just got to me.
Here, it's hot. Don't burn yourself.
Thanks.
I'll start making something more real. Are you okay with Nilaga?
Never had it.
You'll like it. Feeling better?
Very.
Can I ask you what happened? You don't have to, of course.
No, I want to. I just... I can't believe it's over.
Whoa, your legs.
What?
That looks bad and you're bleeding.
Oh, I didn't notice. I guess I got too excited about getting out. I didn't realize.
Nope, stay. Don't get up. Let me grab my med box.
Anak, no. I don't want to waste your supplies.
save it. You're bleeding all over my couch.
Sorry.
No apologies necessary. Can you lift your leg? Ooh. Are you okay with me doing stitches? Or I can do something temporary and get you to a doctor?
No, you can do it. I trust you.
Okay. What was it that attacked you? Is it still in the lighthouse? I have an extra harpoon.
No, nothing. It was my fault.
What did you do? Fall down the stairs?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, this is gonna suck.
Do it.
Ooh. So, what really happened, if you don't mind me asking?
It was Wednesday. Can you believe that? A Wednesday. I started the night with El Saguaro's broadcast, did my daily check-in with Jeremiah, and went up to make sure the light was functioning. I didn't see anything wrong, and so I stayed up there and kept watch. Normally, people aren't out on the waters, so I didn't have to worry, and if there was someone who needed to be out, they'd usually radio first with their route, so you know who to look out for. You've done it lots of times.
Only when I have to.
Same with most people.
Sorry, I'm almost done.
Give one sec.
Oh, sorry. There's only a few more left, I promise.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, you too, though. What happened that night?
I got a call from a junk trader who got caught in a whirlpool and wasn't going to be able to make it back before sundown. I kept an eye out and told him that if he could make it to the lighthouse, he'd be able to dock here until daylight. He agreed, but he never showed up.
As it goes sometimes.
Yeah. I picked up the radio to check on him, but he didn't respond, and after a couple hours, I figured he died. Whatever it was that got him, I hoped it was a fast death. Anyway, I didn't hear anything else on the radio, so I decided to start reading the new book Jeremiah sent me for my birthday. And I ended up breezing through the first 7 chapters before I started getting tired. When I looked up, I saw that it was still dark, but I also knew it was almost time for me to end my day. Which is nice because, you know, quiet nights are the best nights. I figured I could get through another couple chapters, and then when I didn't need the lantern anymore, I could just go to bed.
Okay, you should be good. Sorry, I don't have any painkillers. I haven't restocked those yet.
That's okay. It doesn't hurt as much now. Thanks. Again.
Yeah, don't mention it. Seriously, to anyone, because I can't have potential passengers thinking I'll do this for everyone.
I thought you weren't a taxi.
I'm not, but sometimes the trade is good enough for me to make an exception.
Or you're secretly a softie?
Ha, funny. I'll finish cooking, then you can finish telling me what happened.
Can I help?
Cook?
Yeah.
I just stitched you up. Oh, don't look at those eyes. But I can bring over ingredients and you can help chop.
Deal.
Here we go. Cabbage, potatoes, beans. Oh, dang it. No pechay or corn. It's okay. Chopping board, knife. Okay, these ones get cubed, except for the beans, and make those ones index finger long.
Okay, I can do that.
Great, I'll do the meat. So, when did you get suspicious?
Huh? Right. I got through about 10 more chapters before I started getting suspicious.
You weren't suspicious after the first 7?
Do you not go through more than 7 chapters in one sitting?
Not normally, no. I mean, sometimes I do if I take a day off, but not usually.
Well, I've never been able to read through that much in one night before. So I thought I must be developing faster reading skills. But I also didn't really want to keep reading at that point because my eyes were getting tired and my butt and back were starting to cramp a little. So I just put it down and did another check to make sure the waters were still clear. And they were. I don't know why I didn't before, but I finally had some sense in me to glance at a clock. And that's when I started to get confused. Because the clock clearly said it was almost 9:30 in the morning. And the sun should have been out a long time ago.
Ethel?
And it's not dark season yet. That's not for another year and a half. So of course, I think my clocks are out of sync. That's so annoying because we're not just the lighthouse keepers, we're also timekeepers.
Whoa, hey,
if my clocks are right, then I'm missing potential sirens and that's just bad for everyone. And when I looked at my watch, it was also wrong. So I got annoyed and checked the rest of the clocks in the house because one of them being out of sync was bad, but all of them?
Ethel?
What?
Breathe a little.
Oh.
Put the knife down, please. The clocks are fine. You're fine.
The clocks are fine. They're the right time. The clocks are fine. They're the right time. The clocks are fine. They're the right time.
You good?
Yeah. Sorry. The potatoes are done.
Thanks. These are good shape. Did you also, you know, like that?
Lose it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was starting to lose it. A little, though. I just knew that I needed to talk to someone. Jeremiah. So I called him, but he didn't answer. I repeated my message and then waited, but he still didn't respond. I didn't want to look desperate or worry him. You know how he gets.
Yeah.
So I stopped. I thought he might be busy or something has happened down there, so I tried another channel.
Did you get a response?
No. There was nothing. There was nothing. I'm very good at rationalizing, so I told myself I was being crazy. Even if my night was quiet, it didn't mean that anyone else's was. So I went back to my watch and figured that someone would radio in eventually. Here, they're chopped.
Thanks. Did someone call in?
No. Well.
Well?
I sat down to wait, and I fell asleep. I didn't mean to. I was just so tired. That's not normal for me. I promise I don't just fall asleep on the job.
Don't worry, I trust that you don't. You said earlier that you were tired.
Yeah, thanks.
Did something happen when you woke up?
Not at first. I woke up when I fell out of my chair. But it was still dark, so I thought I just took a nap. And the light was on. I mean, definitely on its last legs, but on was good. I thought I woke up just in time. So I refueled and checked all my clocks. And you know what it said?
What?
I had slept until the next night.
Really?
Yeah, I missed all of daylight. And I missed daily check-ins, the mail courier, and all of El Saguaro's broadcasts. I've never done that before. Ever.
Well, you do work hard every day. When's the last time you took a break for yourself?
Today?
Today does not count.
Well, I guess there was. Huh.
Oh god, is the answer never?
You know, I was lucky because nothing had gone wrong and no one noticed, so it was fine.
Ethel.
It was okay though. Even though I was late, I did my radio check-in with Jeremiah, but he still didn't answer. I was starting to get overwhelmed, and I just wanted to cry. Not because I was sad, but like a frustrated cry.
Yeah, I get that.
I felt so useless, but I told myself that crying wasn't going to do anything.
Oh, no, wait, hold on.
Huh?
You don't think that all the time, do you? Oh, crying is good sometimes. Like sleep.
I'm not used to that.
Maybe you should practice? It's okay to cry.
Maybe. Anyway, I rationalized again. Jeremiah was busy, and I was late. If he'd heard my message, he'd eventually respond. Plus the daily letter. It reminded me that I hadn't checked the mailbox. And I thought that I could just write him a letter explaining that I wasn't ignoring him and that I still loved him.
I'm sure he knows that, even if you didn't send him a letter every single day. Oh, right. Yeah.
Anyway, I went to go check the mailbox and my door was flat.
Flat? What do you mean flat?
I mean it was flat. Solid stone. My hand touched solid stone.
How? Most of the time doors don't just disappear, unless you've got door mites.
I know I didn't have door mites because I couldn't smell them. And infestations take a while. So I thought I was being stupid for missing the deadbolt, but it wasn't there. I'm telling you, the door was there. I could see it, but every time I reached for it, it was just flat stone. I felt around and expected there to be some kind of trick, but there wasn't.
But you could see it.
Yes, but it was like the door was melted into the walls or painted into it. Like an illusion of a door. But there had to be a way out, so I felt along all the walls, hoping for some kind of break or draft or something. I thought if I could find one, then I could pick away at the stone and crawl out. But there was nothing.
Did you try breaking the walls?
When I couldn't find any gaps. Yeah. I found the hammer from under the sink and I... I couldn't even lift the hammer.
What do you mean?
I couldn't lift it. My arms, they wouldn't work right, and everything felt heavy. Even my hands. It took so much effort just to make a fist. And not even a tight one. My entire body felt waterlogged, and it was like my energy was getting sucked out through a straw. I really started to panic, and no amount of rationalizing helped me. I just wanted to get out, so I scrambled up the stairs to get to the windows.
Oh, gods, were you going to jump?
No, I wasn't. I didn't. But I just wanted fresh air, I think. Or at least to see other people. I did think about it for a second, but I knew I wouldn't have survived that.
I'm glad you didn't. Ethel?
You should have seen me. How I looked going up the stairs. It wasn't like I was running. I didn't have any strength, but I was going up on all fours, like something was chasing me. So stupid. There was nothing there, but my heart was racing like there was.
So what happened when you reached the window?
The glass was so cold. It was so nice. It felt fresh. I needed it. I just started rubbing my skin against the glass. I didn't care if anyone saw how weird it looked. My body was so hot. I was sweating like it was the middle of August. But let me tell you, the relief I felt when I saw the ocean, it was like the greatest view in the world. I could see several nocturnal predators hunting under the choppy waves. The pinpricks of lights from other shores were so comforting. Jeremiah keeps telling me to take a break.
You should.
Well, that moment, I knew I must be going crazy. He was right. I needed a break, or honestly, a reset. I thought to myself that all I needed to do was get through the night and make sure I keep to my regular schedule for the next day. But in the meantime, I needed a sense of normal. So I turned on the radio.
But?
It was all static.
Oh, it does that. Don't worry. It's an old model.
I tuned to every channel, but there was nothing. Not even El Saguaro was playing music. I was going to give up, but then I heard something. It was a voice I'd never heard before, but it sounded distant and garbled. I couldn't make anything out beyond a few words, but one I distinctly remember hearing was eggs. I laughed because it was so strange to hear someone speaking about eggs on the radio, but I kept it on. It didn't matter that it was garbled. The voice was comforting to me. I can't believe I kept trying to rationalize it. I was just so happy to hear someone's voice. And finally, I started feeling okay. Like I could breathe again.
Eggs? Huh. That's weird. Hunter was just telling me a story about eggs she found.
Really? Who's Hunter?
I'll tell you later. What else did you do?
I hadn't written the letter to Jeremiah yet, and I felt like I owed him an explanation. So I started writing, and I had the strangest sensation, like someone was watching me write, breathing down my neck. But not just my neck. Everywhere? Like, someone was hovering above me. I felt like I was on a ferry and someone was standing too close and they were just breathing, but more intentionally. I knew that no one could have gotten in. I'm very careful about keeping the door locked. And I never bothered to check the door after the whole...
Right. Yeah.
I thought it had to be a draft, so I got up to check. Because if there was a crack in the glass, then that needed to be repaired ASAP. But when I was checking, that feeling came back. Someone was watching me. I knew it this time. Definitely. There weren't any doubts. I swear, I could feel a cold breath on my neck, and I thought I could block it out with a scarf, but I felt it through the scarf. No matter how tight I pulled it, it wasn't enough. I mean, logically, it had to be a draft, but my gut was telling me something else. I had to make sure I was actually alone. So I went back to check the doors, but when I got to the top of the stairs, they were gone.
Gone? Like your door?
Like the door. I remember just dropping on all fours and crawling around trying to, I don't know, summon the stairs back? It was all dirt, and I remember scraping at the ground until my hands were red and sore. My chest hurt so badly, and I was crying so hard and sucking in so much dirt that I was spitting up mud. I can still taste it in my mouth. I was covered in God's know what when I snapped. I screamed at the shadows to show themselves. They didn't answer me, and I kept screaming until my throat got dry and I started coughing. I was getting pissed. I don't like being antagonized, and I don't like being watched. I screamed so hard my spit turned pink. I don't even know how long I screamed for. I was so out of it, I'm pretty sure I was delirious.
Was there... Did you get a response?
I got something so much worse than a verbal answer. The breath on the back of my neck felt more real now. Like someone had purposefully blown their breath into my ear. It was so cold, I got instant goosebumps. I felt like I was a doll in a diorama. No exits, nothing to do except be
a doll in a
and
diorama.
Be watched.
That sounds like...
No, don't say it. I don't. It wasn't...
He's not real, Ethel. It's just a story. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
I just...
Breathe with me, okay? Like this.
Shh.
Look, you don't have to keep talking if you don't want to.
No, I don't want to stop.
Okay. So what happened next?
I let my panic get the better of me. I forced myself up off the floor and dragged myself to the light. It still worked, which meant that they could see me. I started using it to signal that I was in danger. The thing wouldn't stop breathing on me. I started to hyperventilate because there were icy fingers touching me, caressing my throat. I thought it was going to squeeze and suffocate me, but it didn't. It didn't need to speak for me to understand that it was threatening me, telling me that it could end my life at any time. But that wasn't the worst of it.
It wasn't?
No. The worst was when I felt arms wrap around from behind, like Jeremiah used to hug me like that. If I was busy doing something, he'd come up from behind and hug me, tell me how much he loved me. He'll never be able to hug me like that again because I'll always think of that thing.
Ethel.
I needed someone, anyone to help me. So I grabbed the foghorn and I let out an SOS. At least with a sound that loud, someone would have to wake up and notice that I needed help. There wasn't even a flicker of a light in the distance. I got on the radio, and on every frequency, I begged for help, hoping that someone would hear me, but I was only met with silence. The entire time, my invisible stalker continued to torment me. It latched itself to me, wrapping its invisible arms and legs around me, weighing me down. It kept squeezing until I could barely breathe, but I didn't let it stop me. But it made sure I knew it was there.
Here, tissue.
Thanks. At one point, I felt it leach into my skin, and I was absorbing it like water. My skin grew cold and permanently damp. I was dripping onto everything, like never-ending sweats.
How did you get through it?
Jeremiah. All I could think about was him. I kept rereading his letters, and it helped me to stay grounded. Even if I was trapped, I had him with me. Because I knew he'd notice. He had to. And I needed to fake being normal. Do my duties. Stick to my routine. I thought that if I did, then the creature would think that I wasn't afraid. I was wrong. The more I tried to be normal, the more the creature strengthened its hold on me. My skin started to turn translucent. I could see my veins and bones and how it was all moving. I was becoming a passenger in my own body. I saw it.
You saw it?
Not all of it, but enough. I saw its hands. It looked like it was made of scribbles, but if you could draw with wire-thin metal. It was twisting and moving, but always forming vague hand and arm shapes. It wove its way around my bones, and my veins moved to give the wires life. The invisible thing was leaking into my body, and soon we would be one being. I could feel all of it. It was wet, and it felt like my skin was a wetsuit filled with eels that were always too slippery to get out. It wasn't painful, but it wasn't a nice feeling either. Will you look at my skin? I know it's not there, but I need to know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, other than your injuries, you're fine. Oh.
Oh?
No, not oh, as in oh. You're fine, I promise. I just saw your scar from the jellyfish.
How do you know about that?
Your husband told me. You're good to get dressed again.
Thanks for looking. I'm not strong.
Don't say that. Of course you are.
I mean, not the way that Jeremiah believes I am. Because I started to give up. I knew I was going to die and no one would notice. No one answered my SOS because no one cared. All they wanted or cared about was the light, not me. So, I got pissed. I thought, damn them. Because if they couldn't help me, then why should I help them? And I went up to the light and I snuffed it out. I immediately regretted it. I felt so guilty. And I was angry with myself for being so irrational. Because of my weakness, I just condemned all the lives that depended on me and my lighthouse. But there was a feeling that was more overwhelming. Relief. Relief. I know it sounds like I'm heartless, but it was relief because I realized that I wasn't crazy. I finally accepted that the darkness was alive. It was the thing that was watching me, the breath in my ear and the fingers on my neck. It was a patient predator. It was waiting for this, for my lapse in judgment, for my weakness to take over. It was going to eat me, and I was actually going to die. But the clarity of knowing, I was ready to fight back again.
So what did you do?
My hands fumbled for the matches I keep in my pocket, and just as I was about to lose my mind, whoosh! I had light. It wasn't much, but it was enough. My hands were shaking so badly that it was hard to hold anything. But I got the light back on, and the dark regressed enough for me to breathe again. And do you know what else happened? My stairs came back. I could go downstairs again. I still couldn't leave, and whatever the dark was, it was keeping the inside of my lighthouse dark and blocking my radio signal. I knew I needed to rely on my husband. If he hadn't noticed my absence yet, he would soon. Then I knew he'd either come himself or send someone. So in the meantime, I needed to survive. I knew that if I was going to keep fighting, then I needed a better strategy. I didn't know if I would lose access to the stairs again, so I brought everything up to the light. I knew my best bet would be to stay up top so I wasn't wasting fuel, and that's where I stayed. I rationed out my food and water and kept all the lights on. It was going to be a short-term solution because at some point the generators would die, but it was something. But all I had to do was buy myself time.
I hate to ask, but how much time?
I don't really know. It all blended together. But when today came, I was running out of food and my water was already gone. Fuel was also starting to run low. But I also knew that I'd die of dehydration before that happened. I did my best to remain hopeful, but I was losing my mind, and if no one came, I'd be dead in a few days. And that's when I heard you,
Ethel?
Knocking on my door. The dark heard it too, and I think it got scared. Because those wire scribble hands retracted from my body and my skin started to gain color. I ran down as fast as I could and I saw sunlight streaming through from under the door. And it was tangible. I don't know what happened, but I don't care because somehow you freed me.
That sounds really awful. Look, you don't have to stay there if you don't want to. I can take you back to Jeremiah. I'm not even going to make you trade for it or anything like that.
No, it's okay.
But the thing in your lighthouse.
As soon as I opened the door, it was like whatever it was that was inside my house was gone. There was no more breathing, no more cold.
But what if as soon as it gets dark again, it'll be back? You can't guarantee that.
No, but you will.
Me?
I'll go back inside. I need to run the light anyway, and if I feel something, then I'll tell you.
How? Your radio won't work.
Tomorrow morning, knock on my door again. When I answer, I'll tell you. I'll even leave the door unlocked, so if I can't open it, then you'll still be able to.
Ethel, you were literally just crying on my couch. That's not a good plan.
Do you have a better one?
Yes, I take you back to South Mountain, you reunite with your husband, and someone else takes over here.
And in the meantime, who will run this lighthouse? And who am I to doom the next keeper?
You went through a lot.
So do other people. Sure, I was traumatized, but who isn't?
You can't compare traumas. It devalues what you've gone through. And that's not okay. Haven't you suffered enough?
You don't get it. This place, it's my responsibility. I can't let Laverna down.
Then you've got to think of a longer-term solution.
Yeah.
Food's ready. No, don't get up. I'll bring it to you.
Thanks.
For the record, I don't feel right about this.
I know. I'll see if I can set up something more permanent.
Okay, how about this then? I'll go into town tomorrow while you're asleep and see if there's anyone who can do daily checks on you. First light, there will always be someone knocking.
Thanks. I'd really appreciate that. I'm going to spread the word to other solo keepers. Maybe I'm not the only one. Oh, before I head back inside, can I ask you for a trade?
Sure, anything.
Can you spare some food and water? At least to get me by until the next trader arrives?
Yes, of course. Since I'll be heading into port tomorrow, I'll just restock. Let me know if there's anything extra you need.
What can I...
Nothing. You've been through enough.
Thanks.
Want to listen to some El Saguaro?
Oh, I didn't realize how much I've missed hearing his voice.
Floating out in the ocean. Just don't pick it up, because if you do, you might end up with some nasty skin rashes. Poor Mrs. Dan. That is not a fun way to go. In other news, there's apparently a snowstorm heading for Flagstaff? It's a bit late in the season, but enjoy it while it lasts, folks. For once, those nasties in the depths won't be bothering anyone. However, if anyone manages to catch a snow trout or pike, maybe consider sending a few down to dear old me. I do love those big feisty bastards. Once you get past the hissing and acid spit, they're great in a sopa. Remember that whirlpool forming in Havasu? Well, it's now a fully formed whirlpool, and has already claimed the lives of two hunters who unfortunately decided the potential catch was worth the risk. Tisk, tisk. Well, folks, the sun is setting, so you all know what that means. Stay inside, stay asleep, and stay safe. You'll hear me again bright and early tomorrow morning. Our last song for the night is Moonlight Horrors by Please Help Me. Please, help me. I'm just joking. Buenas noches.
Episode 4 featured Caitlin Martin as Ethel, Kennedy Rianne as Anuk, and Manu A. as El Saguaro. This episode was written and produced by Kennedy Rianne. All licensing information can be found on the website at leftoversattheendoftheworld.com. Thanks for listening. Marami pong salamat sa inyong pagtangkilik.